Turn back to page 13. So just now Tammy read to you all section 1.10. Seeing beyond form and understanding Nibbana. So here I have described to you all the important pointers of cultivation. First one is to develop basic wisdom. What is basic wisdom? Means initial basic wisdom. One must have the ability to see form as they are. When you can see form as they are, then you can see the unreality of form. You must see how it arises and passes away. All phenomena exhibit the same universal characteristic. And every phenomena or form, they are conditioned arising entity. Hence is impermanence, leading to suffering and non-self or empty nature. Once you see this, then you have the ability to see beyond form. So inability to see beyond form will result in form delusion. Means all the external form that you come to perceive will have power over you. Because when you deludedly, through form delusion, grasp and cling at external form, via your own sakyadity, caused by identification with external form, thinking that they are real, then as form divides. So once you identify via identification with them, let us say, external form, which is the physical body, yeah? Then you create the attachment to this physical body via self-delusion. Hence, you worry about your physical body getting old, getting sick and dying, because you think it is real, it belongs to you. So this is how form delusion creates suffering. Because you cannot see like the Buddha when he awakened. He sees the unreality of form, that physical body and mind, the five aggregate of form and mind is dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence, not what you think. So this is very important. Then the other division that brings about conflict and misunderstanding is we straight away get trapped in form. We think we are different at the form level. We have male and female, the gender. Then we have race identification. We got Chinese, Westerner, Negro, and all the various type of races based on form identification, means your skin color define you. Then we have young and old identification, etc., leading to all the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, misunderstanding, and possibility of conflict and argument caused by external form identification and division. So at the form level, it's already so powerful. So as we all know, yeah, the Buddha explained, our consciousness is like a magician, the greatest magician. It creates form illusion. That's why from the four circle formation, the first to arise from the pure nature or the oneness nature is our pure awareness nature. And if you cannot meditate to realize that, then you cannot see the creation process. How from the pure awareness nature it creates the mundane mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, and through the senses, how upon contact consciousness come to be. Then from there, it develops into the fourth circle, which is the phenomenal world of form and consciousness. And that phenomenal world, like the Buddha say, is basically a phenomenal world of consciousness. But within there, through your perception, you also get entangled to the form. That's why the phenomenal world of form and consciousness has power to delude living being. You grasp and you cling to all the external form. That's why there is form division or form delusion. This form has power over you. It can cause you to grasp, cling and fight over it. Then not only form, all this manifestation, how do you know that this is a table, external form, the Buddha Rupang? The knowing comes from the mind. And through the mind, you only perceive it. Means perception is just an image, even more unreal. But externally, already not so real, dependent originating. Thanks. Condition arising, cause of phenomena. That's why you have to learn to see form. The unreality of form, via its condition arising nature. Then during the Buddha's time, he used the bullock cart analogy, which is very good. He asked the monk, he pointed at the bullock cart. He said, "What do you see?" The monk said, "Bullock cart." Yeah. Then what happened is he asked the monk, dismantle them. All the parts, take them out. Then lay them on the ground. Then what do you see? The monk told him, "No more bullock cart." Yeah. Then he asked them, "Assemble it again." Then they assemble it. Then they say, now they see the bullock cart again. So the Buddha, after that, explained to them, he said, "Do you realize or not, when all these parts that forms the bullock cart, like the axle, the wheel, all the various parts, when you put them together, it performs a function, then you give it a name and a concept, because it performs a function. Then it's like exists. Real already. But you can see clearly that this is all condition arising entity, dependent originating. Without the parts, it cannot be there. It does not exist. So what is real and what is unreal? So externally already dependent originating, condition arising, not so real, not what you think. When the causes and condition come together, then it manifests. Like the Buddha said, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Understand that clearly. Just now the Panchaniyama, the five universal law of nature, the Panchaniyama, are the law that governs life and existence. So with that, you will come to understand that everything is dependent on the universal law that governs life and existence. It's not what you think. That's why the Buddha actually saw it in his own five aggregate of form and mind. They are not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling onto, grasp onto, and hold onto, and claim that this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. The Buddha said no such thing. So because of that, he said, the physical body, the five aggregate of form and mind, they are dependent originating condition arising entity. Means, it is not something that you can hold on to and grasp onto and say, this is me, self. Understand? That's why in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, I say, if this is self, then it will not go the way of nature. It will not lead to suffering. Because you can control, you can command. It's a permanent, unchanging entity. Don't get old, don't get sick, and don't die. But it never able to do that. Because this one is not you, not a permanent, unchanging entity, not self. That's why it goes the way of nature. So everything that you come to perceive in this universe is the same. You look at the table, solid, appear like very real. But when I ask you, is it real? Of course, if you use the mundane mind, the logical thinking, yeah lah, real one, so solid one, perform a function one. But do you know how it arises? The causes and conditions behind. What are the causes and conditions behind? You can see it, isn't it? You need the raw material. You need somebody who has the maybe skill, or maybe nowadays the manufacturing process is so advanced, they can use AI to do it and other things. Then, when all these conditions come together, then it delivers this so-called table. Then you happen to have the condition to purchase it, or somebody purchase it and donate to the temple. Then it arises already, exists already. Like after you buy it, you can own it. You can use it and develop whatever you want with it. So to you, it's very real. But when you understand the causes and conditions behind, then you realize any of these causes and conditions, if it's not there, this table will not be here. And so, if you look at all this, you need causes and conditions for phenomena to arise, for condition to arise, for thing to manifest. And all this follow nature's law. Without the affinity, the condition, nothing manifests. So externally, already dependent originating condition arising, not so real, like the block cut. Then the next understanding is, how do you know it's a block cut? Through what? Through your mental? Rub already. Mental perception, isn't it? Your aggregate of mind. Through your knowledge, memory, and you perceive it. And what is all this perception, like the physics experiment? It's just an image in your brain, isn't it? Correct or not? This image, in fact, is laterally inverted. And through this, you perceive it, and you give it a name and a concept. You say, blockade. Externally, already dependent originating, condition arising, not so real. But how do you know there is a blockade? Through your mental perception. It's just an image up here. Is even more unreal, isn't it? Then why do you cling onto it, grasp onto it, and give so much meaning? Even our own form of mind is the same. We identify, we cling. Because why? We perceive it. And through our mundane thinking, we believe this is real. This is what we are. Because the thought will tell you, how can you say this is not real, not me? I want to run, I run. I want to jump, I jump. I want to laugh, I laugh. I want to cry, I cry. I want to commit suicide, also can. Why you say not me? Yeah. So if they use this style of logic, of course, due to your sakyadity, you will believe, yeah, how can it be not me? But then I have given example before, isn't it? This one is just like a car and a driver and a sana. The car is like the vehicle of physical body. And who is the driver behind? The consciousness, isn't it? So the car and the driver analogy is quite close, but not exact. So if let's say there is a driver who can drive the car, you can see clearly the driver is the driver, isn't it? The car is a car, isn't it? Okay? But how come in the human form, within our physical body and the consciousness trapped inside, you cannot see. You see this as a human being, understand? You cannot see that there is a vehicle and there is a driver. But the car, you can see clearly. So like me, if I say I want to walk, I walk, I want to run, I run. No? So the car also say what the driver say. I want to speed, accelerate, I can do. I want to brake, I want to turn, I want to do all those things, I can. But within what is allowable, understand? Provided the engine got no problem, understand? Or the moving part got no problem. Maybe now electric car, or the wiring, or no problem. But let's say something is not right with the car. You put a Formula One driver there, it will also not move. You understand not? It's like the human being. You say, yeah, it's me, I want to walk, I walk, I understand, I understand. But when there is paralysis, what happens? You ask the paralyzed person to stand, he cannot stand. You ask him to walk, he cannot walk. Understand not? Then you see, hey, really? Without the causes and conditions, if everything is not functioning according to the causes and conditions, then there is no condition for that person to do what he used to do. Understand? So, everything within our phenomenal world exhibit that dependent originating condition arising phenomena. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling onto, grasp onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Nothing is eternal. Within the conditioned world, everything is condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating. That's why the Buddha used the word paticca samuppada, the law of dependent originating. So if you learn how to see form, the unreality of form, then only you can see beyond form to be free from form delusion. Do you understand now? So how to see form? From the physics experiment we know, you need your senses, your eye functioning. Then you need the consciousness. Then together with the external sense data, which is color, shape, and form. The three come into contact, give rise to the respective seeing consciousness. And this seeing consciousness, like the Buddha say, in the seeing is only that consciousness. There is no sakayadity or no being, the egoic mind, to see. That's why it is still functioning in accordance with nature's law. But the moment the egoic mind comes in, then what happens? It input the content of consciousness. When it input the content of consciousness, then the seeing become like distorted. Understand? Huh? I see. So that distorted seeing is mundane seeing, egoic seeing. As I learn how to see form, if we use the mundane mind to perceive, then what we see is mundane perception, mundane seeing. This is not the direct seeing. This is not seeing things as they are. This is seeing things according to your conditioning, your knowledge, your belief system. That's why different people call it by different name. If you are English speaking, you call it by the English name. If it's other dialect or language, you call it different. Then all the mundane seeing is like chaplang seeing. Everybody see different thing. But direct seeing, no word, no concept, nothing to argue. You see things as they are. There is no more delusion. Then it cannot deceive you. Where you see clearly that all this is mental, consciousness, arise and pass away. As real as it can be, the moment you close your eye, that creation is gone, understand? The moment you open your eye, all this that appear within the field of perception become like real, exists. So what is real? What is unreal? That's why the Buddha say, through consciousness, we are the greatest magician, illusionist, that create illusion for us to see. And if we cannot penetrate this, then we will not develop the wisdom to see form. Yeah. That's why I say, learn to see form. This mundane seeing is also useful, important. Well, within the conditioned world, everybody depends on their senses and their conditioning knowledge to see. So this is the norm. We need to develop this understanding so that we does not argue with people and get ourselves into trouble. Then when we learn how to see form, we must develop the wisdom to a higher level to see the unreality of form. How do you see that it's unreal? Well, this one, like the block card, dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena, not so real, not what you think. Then how do you know that that form is what you have labeled? It's because through perception, you perceive it through your memory, which is knowledge. And from there, it's just an image up here, your brain, maybe laterally inverted. This is even more unreal, understand? How real can the image be? Externally, the block card or the external form is already dependent originating, not what you think. Then how do you know that thing? Through your mental perception, which is an image, it's even more unreal. Then why do we cling onto it, grasp onto it, give meaning, and get ourselves entangled over it? That's why we call it empty nature of existence. Dependent originating means what? Impermanent, understand not? All these are like the Buddha's explanation. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. When causes and conditions comes to be, it arises. When the supporting condition continues to sustain itself, it continues to exist. When supporting conditions cease to be, it ceases to be. So from this understanding, you will come to a very penetrative realization that whatever that is dependent originating is impermanent. So whatever that is dependent originating is impermanent. So this understanding is very important. Dependent on condition, it arises. And when condition evolve or changes, it continues to evolve and change. That's why the physical body will go through birth, old age, sickness, and death. Yeah, these are the four-phase cycle. Being born, then it go through the growth phase, then decay, then die. So everything within the phenomena will exhibit these characteristics of dependent origination. If it's impermanent, then we know this is not a permanent unchanging entity. Unchanging entity. Then this dependent originating condition, they follow nature's law. And because of that, if you want things your way, which is not in accordance with the pancha niyamas, then suffering will arise. So you must see this clearly. When you cannot get what you want, because what you want is a craving, understand not? It's a craving. Your way or what you want is a craving. Not according to nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why you will get yourself into trouble. As per the First Noble Truth reality, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, you suffer. So the characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering is very clear. Then because it's impermanent and it leads to suffering, you will see clearly the empty nature of existence. Means everything is not what you think. Like I explained, within the conditioned world that we live in, everything follows this law. Then if you want to understand life, which is related to existence, to live life is to exist, isn't it? True or not? Huh? Then to exist is to go through time. Very good. So this time, we can define past, present and future. So this one, past, present and future. This defines the whole spectrum of time, isn't it? So within these three periods of time, which is the reality? Future, yet to come. So definitely not a reality, isn't it? The past is already gone. It's also not a reality, isn't it? True or not? So the only reality within time or existence is the present moment. That's why we talk about present moment awareness. Present moment awareness. Or the power of now, to be within the moment. In sati. So this one is the only reality. Present moment. Awareness. Only reality. Then I ask you a question. How solid or how real is the present moment? The moment you talk about it, this moment is already dead and gone, isn't it? Then next moment, then next moment. So this present moment, if you can be aware to be with it, it is only split second is dead and gone. And this is the only reality. So how real can life be? How real can existence be? To see this time, you need awareness. Understand not? Well, this is time related. Past and future are what we call illusionary time. You understand not? Well, it's already gone. But your thought creates the illusion that there is a past through memory. 往事只能回味. Can follow? Then future haven't happened yet. That's why it's also an illusion. One day, I will become enlightened. Is that a reality? It's not a reality, is it? If I have not followed that type of teacher or meditation, I should have been enlightened now. That if is also not a reality. That's why the past is already gone, not a reality. Future yet to come. Present moment is the only reality. And this is life. This is existence. And this one is so transient. The word is transient. Transient. Split second it arise and pass away. Split second it arise and pass away. It's day and gone. So if real... If life and existence is so transient, that's why you can see this in the meditative state. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. And every consciousness is a different consciousness. But it's dependent originating. So who are you? What are you? Is the thought process that arise and pass away dependent originating you? Cannot be you, isn't it? Definitely. So you see all this when you are mindful and aware that penetrative awakening, that insight into it will awaken you. Everything is just like that, moment to moment, arise and pass away, arise and pass away. Like I share with you all, not in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Your five aggregate of form and mind, feeling arise and pass away. Did you die? You didn't die, isn't it? That is feeling you. Definitely no lah. But to you, the feeling is like so real, no? Understand, no? Hey, that pain really severe, no? Why you say not me? But if feeling is you, what happens is, if feeling become unpleasant feeling, when it change, did you die? You should have died with it, isn't it? But you didn't die. So what is feeling? Huh? Feeling is dependent originating. Understand or not? Dependent on your physical body, your senses. And that feeling arises. pleasant and unpleasant, painful or what, depending on the causes and conditions behind. Understand or not? Even the newborn baby also know. When they have uncomfortable condition or situation, they also cry, and sometimes cry very loud some more. Then when you get injury or what, when you suffer like terminal disease, those going through cancer or those things, the suffering to them is very real. But they don't know that feeling come and go, and they didn't die. So how can feeling be you? Perception also come and go, you also didn't die. Similarly, your thought process, your mind state, sankhara, fear arises and pass away, you didn't die. So how can fear be you? How can anger be you? So when you are mindful and observant, then you realize all this is delusion. Where they are not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, grasp on to, and hold on to, and say, this is me. Therefore, this is what I am. So the law of dependent origination, straight away when you awaken to it, you know it is impermanent, where it's dependent originating. Then it's condition arising, causal phenomena. And it exists within life, within existence, which is time-based. And we have gone through within time, the only reality is the present moment, which is so transient. That's why if that is the case, then how real can life and existence be? That's why this one is empty nature. The easiest example to understand this is, I ask you a question. So since birth until now, you cannot deny you were born, isn't it? And you went through all the moment-to-moment of experience in life there. Is it real? A more precise understanding is, like I said, you cannot deny that all this moment happened. Yeah. Understand not?
Yeah. That's right.
When I ask you, is it real? You have to sincerely investigate. Is it real? I give you the answer, then you understand. It's never real. Why? Because all those things gone. Past already gone. Understand not? You can only recall through? Memory. How real is memory? Accumulated experiences. Very good. So, how real can it be? That's why empty nature existence. Whether you exist or you don't exist, when you truly penetrate the mundane thinking, you will realize the supramundane, which is totally beyond. Like we know, we have been born for aeons and aeons of birth and death through the karmic process. Every one of these that you come is a segment of that life, understand? And each of these segments that you are born into, which one is you? None of them are you. They are all dependent originating entity, phenomenal, come and go, condition arising, causal phenomena. So empty nature existence is what sunyata is all about. Understand?
Yeah.
So this understanding of sunyata is very difficult, very penetrative. But you need all this explanation for you to understand. Otherwise, the mundane thinking will attach and cling and give meaning. And that grasping is what sakyadity is all about.
Yeah.
The egoic mind is all about. So thank you for your...
Yeah, but another thing, another point is I have is that the Diamond Sutra really tells you that it cuts through illusion and delusion. So,
but the Diamond Sutra, you know the famous stanza, not? The four stanza.
The four stanzas, no.
Each year you wave up, Zhu Meng Huan Pao Yin, Zhu Lu Yi Lu Dian, Yin Zuo Lu Si Guan. That one cut through all delusion, true. In English is, everything within the conditioned world is conditioned Dhamma. Yu Wei Fa, conditioned Dhamma. And this conditioned Dhamma is Zhu Meng Huan Pao Yi. Meng is dreamlike. Huan is illusion, illusionary. Pao is like a bubble, arise and pass away. like your feeling, pop, gone. Then like a shadow, appear very real, keep on following you, but it's just a shadow. Understand?
Yeah. It's like a
so, dream. If the condition was conditioned Dhamma is dreamlike, illusionary, like a bubble and a shadow, then why do you grasp onto it and give meaning and be deceived and deluded by it? That's why he said, they are impermanent. Zu lu yi lu tian, like a morning dew and a lightning flash. A lot of consciousness, when you understand, is very fast. Split second is gone, split second is gone. The one that lasts longer is like a morning dew. When the sunlight comes out, when it evaporates, it's gone, empty. Yin zuo lu si guan, you have to contemplate it such. That is what life is. That is what existence is. That's why that one penetrates illusion. It's correct. But you must understand the four stanza. Because that is what the Diamond Sutta is. The diamond is chosen because it's the hardest element that can cut through all things. So, okay?
Yep.
So by now, you can understand why the Buddha says anicca, dukkang, and anatta. So this is the three universal characteristics. Anicca, dukkang, and anatta. This anatta is the most important. In the Theravada tradition, the teaching, they normally say anatta is what? They always tell you, non-self. In fact, non-self is just a small aspect of anatta. In fact, anatta is a very powerful teaching. Mahayana teach this sunyata. Sunyata, most people explain it as emptiness. Emptiness. Actually, it's not empty of anything, or there is nothing inside there. Emptiness means it is not what you think. Although life and existence appear very real, appear like it existed, but it's not what you think. We are empty nature existence, like just now I told you. You can only recall through memory. If nobody remembers you, you like don't exist. Understand? So that memory is what the mundane mind holds on to and make it appear real. Yeah, it's an illusionary time. The reality is within the moment it arises, it passes away. So like the saying goes, when you are born into this world, you come empty. When you pass away, you also pass away empty. Then why do you grieve over emptiness in between? We are all of the craving, fighting, suffering that living beings spend so much energy and time and even their wealth to fight for it, to get it, finally turn out empty nature of existence. So this emptiness is empty nature of existence. Existence to you may be very real, but to the awakened one, they are not what you think. That's why I used to share with a lot of Kayamita. Later on, when you penetrate the Dhamma understanding, when you awaken, then you realize with the mano or the mundane mind, you think also like that, you don't think also like that. You can understand that statement or not. Yeah? Your thinking got no bearing. That's not. Because it's just a thought. That's not. Thought come and go. It's how you input the content of the thought and how it goes into the nature's law, especially via the law of karma that manifests all this dependent originating condition for life and existence to manifest within our universe. So when you understand all this, then you realize all our existence is empty, not what you think. Like I said, the aeons and aeons above and there, which one is you? None of them is you. When you were born as an animal, is that you? When you're born as a human being now, is that really you? Then in future, maybe born devas or what? Then which one is you? All this you cannot deny, they actually happen. but it's within memory, within consciousness. And as real as it can be, the present moment, that is the only reality. And if this one is so transient, how real can life be? How real can existence be? So see this, then the Diamond Sutta stands out, become very clear. Then the Heart Sutta teaching also become very clear. We are in true emptiness, means after you have penetrated and realized true emptiness, this is true emptiness, empty nature of existence, then you will realize no one born, no one died, no one sick, no one old, and no four noble truth also. Everything doesn't exist. That's why that is the supramundane, the unconditioned realization. That type of penetrative wisdom is what enlightenment is all about. But you must not be one-sided. If you penetrate that and doesn't understand the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world, you are still not with the complete wisdom to live life, to understand life. Your life has its own reality. Even though it's transient, not what you think. That's why in the Heart Sutta is mentioned, true emptiness is wonderful existence. You can remember? Zhen Kong Miao Yu. After you penetrate that, life becomes meaningful, wonderful. It doesn't mean that everything is suffering. Don't want to know. Then wants to meditate until enlightenment, then cease, disappear. That is not understanding life. To understand life is to understand both the mundane and the supramundane.